Hello, this is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of October 18, 2020. We begin with the latest press releases from the various two health departments. First, from Ford County, current as of October 21st, 2020, there have been a total of 260 cases, and that's an increase of 30 from our reading last week. There have been released from isolation 208. 34 individuals are currently in home isolation, 6 have been hospitalized, and there have been 12 deaths, which is an increase of 5 from the last reading. Of those 5, 2 are males, 1 in his 50s, 1 in his 90s, 3 females, 1 in their 70s, 1 in her 80s, and 1 in her 90s. The age range of the cases, we have 32 cases of people under 20, 40 of people in their 20s, 30 of people in their 30s, 25 people in their 40s, 32 people in their 50s, 31 people in their 60s, 19 people in their 70s, 31 people in their 80s, and 20 individuals in their 90s. Of the cases, 59% are female and male are 41%. In Iroquois County, total cases 519, which is an increase of 47 from our last reading. 461 confirmed cases, 58 probable cases, 449 have been released, 45 are currently in home isolation, 5 are hospitalized, and 20 are deceased, which is an increase of 1. The gender, 55.3% are female, 44.7% are male. There have been a total of 13,761 test results in Iroquois County, 13,242 negative results, 461 total laboratory confirmed positive results, and total probable positive results, 58. There are 33.4% positive rate and a negative rate of 96.2. We begin our reading today on the front page of the Ford County Record with a story entitled Long-Term Care Outbreak in Piper City Boosts Cases in Ford County. I should note that the statistics we just looked at were dated October 21st, and this paper was published October 21st, so the figures are a little bit less than what they were later that day. Paxton. A long-term care outbreak in Piper City boosted the number of new COVID-19 cases in Ford County by 38 on October 13th. Of the 38 new cases, 26 were associated with an outbreak at Piper City Rehab and Living Center, according to County Health Department Administrator Lana Sample. As of October 9th, that facility had 4 prior cases in an outbreak that was considered to be closed, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. 2 women in their 70s with COVID-19, one from Vermilion County and one from Ford County, have died. Health departments in both counties reported on October 19th. The latest death in Vermilion County was the county's 9th death and the 4th in the last 2 weeks, according to the County Health Department. The 9th death was also the first female COVID death in Vermilion County. The latest death in Ford County was the county's 10th COVID death, according to the Ford County Health Department. Ford County has a total of 251 cases. Of those cases, 174 are confirmed cases, while 74 are probable. Of these, 171 of the previously reported cases have been released from the isolation, while 70 remain active with 7 hospitalizations. Public health officials continue to investigate and contact all individuals who may have had exposure to individuals that tested positive for COVID-19. All close contacts are asked to self-quarantine for 14 days and monitor themselves for symptoms of COVID-19. Ford County Public Health Department reports both confirmed and probable cases as recently recommended by the CDC. Also on the front page of the Ford County Record, Circuit Clerk outlines jury procedures at Ford County Board meeting. Circuit Clerk Kim Evans reported to the Ford County Board that jury seating for at least one trial will begin on October 19th, but she said prospective jurors can be seated just 16 at a time for questioning in the large courtroom. She said that at least 3 sets of 16 will be questioned during that day, separated by a period of time in between. Evans was the only department head to appear in person at the meeting. Several county board members continue to attend the monthly meetings remotely. Board member Gene May of Rural Paxson, chairman of the board's Environmental Safety Committee, said the county is rewriting the garbage hauling ordinance. May said that two trash haulers operating in the county have no required license. "We're looking for some teeth in the ordinance," May said. May said he shared a copy of the existing ordinance with Health Department Administrator Lana Sample. May, the owner of Central Illinois Disposal and Recycling, said that in every county he operates in, the Health Department is in charge of the licensing. May said he had nothing new to report about a proposed countywide electronics recycling event next year. Champaign County held one earlier this month. It will be up to Tom McQuinn, chairman of the board's overview committee, and that committee to advertise for bids to set up an auction date for the two-year lease of county-owned farm ground, accept the highest bids received for the three parcels available for rent, and to execute contracts with the winning bidders. The three county-owned farms are currently being leased by David and Kira Ebert of Onarga. McQuinn suggested holding the auction on the courthouse steps to avoid any problems related to COVID-19. He said he will review the existing lease with Killian to see if any changes should be made to the next lease. Also, the board learned from Chase McCall, chairman of the board's finance committee, that he had set for 5:30 p.m. October 19th in the small courtroom a meeting to finish up the budget for the next fiscal year. It will discuss an Office 365 email system upgrade and system maintenance package, as well as a request to increase the salaries paid to Ford County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Terry Whitebird and his deputy, Kevin Turner. Under the proposal, Whitebird would receive $10,000 per year, while Turner would receive $3,500. The proposed purchase of a new vehicle for the EMA and a proposed salary increase for the county's new zoning manager officer, Brandon Magers. The board also learned from a call that MCS Office Technologies of Gibson City presented a proposal to the Finance Committee last Thursday. Last month, the board approved paying MCS $32,868 for Office 365 email migration and installation. MCS proposed a maintenance agreement at a cost of $20,268 per year with Microsoft and a maintenance agreement with MCS at an annual cost of either $60,120 for basic services or $97,920 for premium services. McCall noted that there is $225,000 currently in the proposed budget for the next fiscal year for computer services, including IT upgrades. Board member Ann Erke asked if bids had been solicited from other providers. They had not been. The board tabled a proposal to vote on an ordinance governing the $180,000 in grant funding under the local Coronavirus Urgent Remediation Emergency Support Program, the CURE program. The county is waiting for certification from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. The money would go towards any COVID-related expenses that have to do with protective equipment and overtime that is COVID-related. Some could go to upgrade ventilation systems at county facilities. The board approved an agreement with the Ford County Soil and Water Conservation District for the county to provide $7,000 in funding to the SWCD for fiscal year 2021. The county has supported the SWCD each year with financial contribution. The money goes to certain programs and outreach activities. The board approved a preliminary engineering services agreement with Hutchison's Engineering Incorporated of Jacksonville for proposed roadwork in Wall Township. And they learned that Lindgren, that the East Central Community Action Agency has their contract with the Head Start has lost their contract with the Head Start program. The agency will operate its winterization for low-income families out of an office at 101 West Ottawa Road in Lindgren. Said the agency will pay about four times the rent as budgeted, but that was about the only building that was available for rent on short notice. Also from the Ford County Board, the early voting dates in Ford County. Public notice is hereby given that early voting in Ford County will be con- conducted on the following dates and temporary locations prior to the November 3, 2020 general election, from Monday to Friday, October 19th to October 23rd, at the Ford County Clerk's Office, the County Courthouse in Paxton, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. On Monday to Friday, October 26th to October 30th, Ford County Clerk's Office at the County Courthouse in Paxton, again from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. On Saturday, October 31st, Ford County Clerk's Office in Paxton from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And on Monday, November 2nd, from Ford County Clerk's Office and the County Courthouse in Paxton from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The final story on the front page of the Ford County Record for this week is entitled, Paxton City Council Hears Request Regarding Chickens. A Paxton couple has asked the City Council to reconsider its stance on allowing hens within city limits. Dale Wise and Kristen Larson, who recently bought a home on South Washington, said there are many reasons why backyard chickens are a good thing. They said they are educational, good for FFA and scout projects, part of a sustainable lifestyle, are not loud or smelly, and require little space. Raising them is not cheap, so not everyone would make the effort, and hens make good pets. The couple said they were starting a conversation, and so gave the alderman packets with other areas' towns' ordinances allowing hens, and a fact sheet outlining seven false myths about urban chickens. No one has come before the council in person asking permission for hens. Instead, residents over the years have inquired about it to their representatives. The last time the council was raised this past summer, the council informally put the kibosh on the idea. In recent years, several residents have quietly raised hens and city officials haven't sanctioned them. Also, employee Bob Carlton reported that the city had decided to proceed with the repair of sidewalks in-house. He said that by the city buying the concrete and the employees doing the work, four times the sidewalk work could be done than by paying an outside contractor. The city budget allows $40,000 for sidewalk replacement in this fiscal year. Carlton said some 100 water meter heads have been replaced so far. He said when residents aren't home, when the employees come calling, door hangers are left, urging residents to call City Hall to make appointments for the meter work. Also, Mayor Bill Ingold said the city will pay a contractor about $10,000 a block for the 100 and 200 blocks of North Market Street to have portions milled and replaced with a layer of asphalt in the downtown. Paxton's big downtown street replacement project has been delayed until at least next summer. Also, the council made permanent the designation of 5 to 8 p.m. as trick-or-treat hours on Halloween evening. Ingold said it's up to the parents to allow their children out or not, and if homeowners don't wish to participate, they should not turn on their porch lights. The council agreed there was no need to bring the matter up for a vote every year. Also, the council agreed that Ingold should contact the charity that owns the drop-off box at the fire station to remove it. Dumping of garbage has been a problem there. It was noted that boxes in other parts of town don't have the dumping problem. Also, the council directed Ingold to contact the two contractors who returned bids to paint the clock tower to explain the bids. One came in at $18,000 and the other at $69,000. The board learned from Chief Coy Cornett that warrants obtained enabled the city to hire a contractor to clean up properties at 404 South Market Street and 640 East Patton Street, and place liens against the property. Another warrant is being sought for 110 West Spruce. Also, the council approved the purchase of a mobile repeating system by Cornett for $25,511 from the Supreme Radio Communications Incorporated. The money is in Cornett's budget. They heard from the Chamber of Commerce President, Alan Mayer, that the recent wine and chocolate event was successful. 140 tickets were sold, including to many out-of-towners. Meyer said November 7th is the day for the Eat, Drink, Shop event, whereby residents purchase gift cards from various businesses, and their purchase will be matched by donors to the Chamber program. The board approved redevelopment agreements with Paxton Hospitality LLC for $32,440, half the cost of a remodeling project there, and with Paxton Packing LLC for $18,000, half the cost of a roofing project. Money will be paid out in 5 installments to each, with income from the Tax Increment Financing District Fund. After the meeting, Ingalls said he is still looking for someone to man the city's recycling program for 4 hours at a time, once or twice a week. The program has been shut down since March. That person would work out of the Central Illinois Disposal and Recycling Storage Facility on the city's north side. The TIF Joint Review Board will meet on October 19th at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers. Ingle reported that a building on 247 North Railroad has been sold, and one of the dental offices in town will move there. That building had once housed a dollar store. Ingle said that someone plans to open a seed and feed store there at 108 West State Street. Now we'll turn to the Ford County Chronicle and begin with an article entitled, Paxton Masonic Lodge Sets Open House Raffle Drawing for October 24th. Paxton. On Saturday, October 24th, the Paxton Masonic Lodge will have an open house and raffle ticket drawing. Free tours of the historic Paxton Masonic Lodge building at the southeast corner of State and Market Streets will begin at 1 p.m., starting from the newly remodeled rental space at 155 North Market Street on the building's first floor. The building dates back to 1885 and has been the location of many businesses in addition to the Masonic Lodge and York Rite organizations. If you have never been in the building, you must come and see it, Masonic Lodge member Jim Sheard said. Visitors are invited to walk in, sign a guest book, buy a raffle ticket, get a bottle of water, and receive an individually wrapped chocolate chip cookie, freshly baked by the Paxton IGA. There will be an opportunity to learn about the history of the Masonic Lodge and of the Freemasons who have been leaders in local government, schools, charities, and churches. Lodge members will be present to discuss Freemasonry and to share information about the fraternity's educational scholarship programs and civic activities. Those wishing to tour the building will be guided to the second and third floors by Masonic Lodge members. A highlight of the building tour is the Lodge Room, which is referred to as the most beautiful in the state of Illinois. We claim that designation with pride as a title bestowed on our lodge room by many Masonic visitors outside our local membership, Cheryl said. Social distancing will be observed, so attendees are advised to bring a mask. At 2 p.m., Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold will draw the winning raffle ticket for a trip to the historic Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. The winner will receive a voucher worth $2,500 to use at the Peabody Hotel at a time of their choosing. There will also be 16 other prizes donated by Paxton area merchants. Ticket holders do not need to be present to win. The Peabody Hotel is located at 149 Union Avenue in the heart of downtown Memphis. There is much to do and see in Memphis, including music, historic places, and Graceland, the home of Elvis Presley. The raffle winner will enjoy 4 days and 3 nights in a Peabody Hotel executive suite. In addition, each night there will be dinner for two at one of the Peabody's fine dining restaurants, along with breakfast and lunch each day. Raffle tickets cost $75, and persons must be 18 years old to be eligible. Only 300 tickets will be sold, and backer tickets can be obtained from Masonic Lodge members. Proceeds will be used to support the Masonic Lodge in its civic and charitable activities. Before we turn to the obituaries, we have an article entitled, Dr. Follner's Death Leaves Huge Hole in Paxton Community. Paxton. To many of his patients, Dr. Richard Follner was like a family member, not just their family physician. Practicing medicine for nearly a half century in Paxton, ingrained Dr. Follner in the rural Ford County community he served. His patients spanned multiple family generations, and many got to know him as a father or uncle-type figure, or as a dear friend. Patients really loved him, said licensed nurse Pauline Buzzell, who worked with Dr. Follner for 47 years. Dr. Follner, who died unexpectedly Tuesday at age 79, seemed to love his patients too. He would usually spend a few minutes at the end of the office visits chatting them up about their daily lives to make sure they were doing okay, To Dr. Fellner, it seemed their happiness mattered as much as their health. "He'd take some time with you, and that's what made it personal," said Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold, whose family had been seeing Dr. Fellner for decades. "It wasn't that he'd come in and take your temperature and give you something and go on. This guy, he was willing to spend time with you, and you could talk to him about whatever, all kinds of things." While Dr. Fellner had a friendly nature, he was known to take his work very seriously. He could be extremely thorough investigating his patients' medical issues and would take measures some other doctors would not in order to come to an accurate diagnosis, and said longtime friend and patient Carl Hudson Jr. "He wanted to take care of people no matter what it took," Hudson said. "If there was something he picked up on that he didn't like, he would go to great depths, testing, whatever it might be, to get what he felt was an accurate result or response or reason for an ailment. That's the kind of person he was. If there was something wrong with you, he's going to find out. He's going to do whatever it takes to resolve it." Dr. Fellner started his practice in Paxton in February 1973, after he and Dr. Charles Olaf, with whom Dr. Fellner had shared a practice in his native Pennsylvania, were recruited to work at the Paxton Community Hospital. For the next 47 years, Dr. Fellner served families in Paxton and surrounding communities. "It's like losing a family member," Ingold said. "I mean, he's been here for like 50 years. Dr. Fulner's death was unexpected. He was his normal self Tuesday, busy as usual. He worked a full day at the clinic Tuesday, then went out and got his hair cut at about 4:30, then came back to the clinic and picked up his briefcase and gave me a couple of last things to do, and then his last remark was, 'I wonder what I can get done at home before dark,' Buzzell recalled, and then he walked out the door with his briefcase." Dr. Fulner would die later that night. "It was a shock to everybody," Hudson said. "It was totally unexpected." "Big loss. Huge," Bellingold said. Said Rob Schmidt, the chief executive officer of the Gibson Area Hospital and Health Service, "Dr. Fuller was an outstanding physician, mentor, and person. He served the Paxton community and the surrounding area for over 40 years. He was a lifelong learner, teacher, educator, mentor, and loved his patients. He had passion for rural health care and loved serving the Paxton community. Dr. Fellner will be greatly missed by the Gibson Area Hospital, the Paxton Clinic, the Paxton community, his patients, and his family." Now his obituary. Dr. Richard P. Fellner, 79, of rural Penfield, a Paxton physician, passed away at 8:26 p.m., Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A private mass of Christian burial will be held at the Holy Family Catholic Church in Danville. Burial will follow. Memorials may be made to the Gibson Area Hospital, the St. Lawrence Church in Penfield, or the Holy Family Catholic Church in Danville. Now for the rest of the obituaries. Barbara Almeida Swan, Paxton. Barbara Almeida Swan, 66, of Paxton, died at 7:28 a.m. Friday, October 16, 2020, at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. There will be no services at this time. Patricia Ann Kenner, Paxton. Patricia Ann Kenner, 88, of Paxton, died at 12:20 a.m. Sunday, October 18, 2020, at her home. Private burial will be held at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Evangelical Covenant Church or the Alzheimer's Association. Sandra C. Snelling. Sandra C. Snelling, 73, of Paxton, passed away at 12:25 p.m., Saturday, October 17, 2020, at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal. Private graveside services will be held at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Donna Natalie Mize Scherfe. Donna Natalie Mize Scherfe, 92, of Roberts, passed away peacefully surrounded by family at her home on the beautiful autumn afternoon of October 11, 2020. Donations in her memory may be given to Cunningham's Children's Home in Urbana. We are sorry that because of COVID-19, we are only able to have a private family service, but want you to know how deeply grateful we are for the outpouring of care and love shown to our parents over the years and now through your cards, calls, and remembrances of Donna's beautiful life. Daryl Dean Redding. Daryl Dean Redding, 78, of Champaign, formerly of Gibson City, passed away on Friday, October 16th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. His funeral was held on October 21st at Emmanuel Lutheran Vossmann in Ossman, Illinois, burial at Mount Hope Cemetery in Champaign. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Ossman or Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Illinois. Norman E. Steiner. Norman E. Steiner, 88, of Mesa, Arizona, formerly of Buckley and Watsika, Illinois, passed away Thursday, October 15, 2020, in Chandler, Arizona. Due to current health concerns, a memorial service will be held in Illinois at a later date. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorial contributions may be made to Hospice of the Valley in Phoenix, Arizona, Calvary Lutheran Church in Watsika, Illinois, Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Mesa, Arizona, or Epiphany Lutheran Church in Chandler, Arizona. Harry J. Stoller, M.D. Harry J. Stoller, M.D., 84, of Cisna Park, went to be with Jesus Christ on Thursday, October 15, 2020. Private graveside services will be held at Bremen Cemetery in Bremen, Indiana, at a later date. Russell E. Schroeder. Russell E. Schroeder, 76, of Watsika, passed away on Saturday, October 17, 2020, at Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watsika. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, October 27, 2020, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Funeral service at Nat Funeral Home in Watsika. Pastor Joel Brown will officiate. Burial will follow at Body Cemetery in Woodland. Janet Brandt. Janet Brandt, 90, of Clifton, passed away on Sunday, October 18, 2020, at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. A memorial visitation will be from 9 a.m. until the 11 a.m. memorial service on Saturday, October 24, 2020, at Knapp Funeral Home in Clifton. The Reverend Vern Arsenault will officiate. Burial will follow at St. Peter's Catholic Cemetery in Clifton. Memorials may be made to Cubs Charities in memory of Janet. Loretta W. Storm. Loretta W. Storm, 96, of Crescent City, passed away on Sunday, October 18, 2020, at Piper City Rehab and Living Center. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Catherine S. Hitchens. Catherine S. Hitchens, 70, of Piper City, passed away on October 18, 2020, at Piper City Rehab. Cremation service rites have been accorded, and a memorial service will take place at a later date. Memorials may be made to the American Red Cross. Francisco L. Avalos. Francisco L. Avalos, 67, of Onarga, passed away on Monday, October 19, 2020, at Kindred Hospital in Peoria. Funeral services were held Thursday, October 22nd at Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga with Father Vern Arsenault officiating. Burial followed at Onarga Cemetery. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Leela Sennard. Leela Sennard, 89, of Paxton, passed away on Thursday, October 22nd, 2020 at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, October 24, 2020, at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to ARC of Iroquois County. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the news from Ford County. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.